gold, and some of them said, it's blue and black. The ensuing debate got picked up by online newspapers and fashion magazines and bloggers, and it became an overnight sensation. More than 25 million, that's right, 25 million people commented on this story or shared this story or in some way posted it on their own Facebook pages. In case you're wondering, I thought the dress was white and gold. It transpires the dress was blue and black. Now, there are lots of reasons why this story caught people's attention, not least because they have way too much free time to waste on the internet. Brackets, I think I'm aging and becoming very grumpy. Seriously, though, I think one of the things that, one of the reasons that made this story so popular is because it reminds you that people have very different opinions on things. People see things very differently, and they will defend the way they see something, even if actually the way they see it's not quite right. At the heart of this story from Luke chapter 7 is an invitation from Jesus to see things differently, to look again, because it is different from the way that it appears. Jesus was having dinner at the home of one of the Pharisees. During the meal, an uninvited and unexpected guest arrived. Luke tells us that she was a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town. If we haven't quite got Luke's message with the nod and the wink, then Simon the Pharisee makes it clearer for us. If this man were a prophet, he says of Jesus, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she's a sinner. In actual fact, the woman was probably someone who was abandoned as a child because her family couldn't afford to keep her and was then picked up and became a slave, or she was sold by her own family into slavery because they could not afford to keep her and needed to generate some income, or she may in fact have sold herself into slavery because of debt. The point is that this is a woman who is poor and who is a victim of her own poverty. For us reading this story today, the woman's behaviour, I guess, is perhaps a bit uncomfortable or embarrassing. She's very overfamiliar with Jesus. If we were at a meal and something like this happened, most of us would probably look into our soup and hope it stopped fairly soon. But for these men gathered around this table, the behaviour is absolutely scandalous because it is very, very suggestive. And I'm not surprised that the Pharisees were shocked. They were men who were seeking to be godly people. They wouldn't have wanted to be associated with behaviour like this. I don't think any of us would either. But listen to what Jesus does in verse 44. Then he turned towards the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman?" Jesus challenges Simon to look again, because the scene isn't actually white and gold, it's blue and black. This scene is different from the way it appears. Earlier this week, I heard a story on the radio about a little girl who lost her toy bunny. She was on the bus with her mum, but when she got off, she forgot her beloved bunny. And if you've ever been associated with a small child who has a beloved soft toy, you will know that that's a fairly major incident. By the time 4-year-old Mimi realised she didn't have her bunny, it was too late to do anything. So Mimi's ever-resourceful mum telephoned BBC London Radio to put out an appeal. It just so happened that London Transport Commissioner Sir Peter Hendy was in the studio. He got on his mobile phone to the relevant bus company. He asked them to appeal to all their drivers, and within an hour, Bunny had been found, having spent an eventful night in New Cross bus garage. I saw a picture of Mimi's bunny. Mimi's bunny is grubby and damaged and really rather worn. He has no tail and wonky eyes, and he's been badly repaired several times. I would imagine that most cleaners, if they were cleaning the bus, would have binned Bunny, because Bunny didn't look worth saving. But that mum knew that whatever state he was in, that Bunny was precious and loved, and that made him worth saving. Jesus invites Simon to look again at this woman. Do you know, Simon sees a woman who is grubby and damaged and well-worn. But Jesus sees a woman who is precious and loved and worth saving. Jesus says to Simon in verse 47, "Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown." What he's saying is that this woman's actions weren't motivated by sex. They were motivated by love and by gratitude for what Jesus had done for her. Jesus sees that woman differently. And because he sees her differently, he treats her differently. This is not someone to be sidelined and excluded from the community. This is not someone who is an embarrassment. This is someone who has been rescued and restored, who should be welcomed back to the community. The way we see affects the way that we behave. Often when we read the Bible, we can find ourselves asking the question, what should I do in response? It's easy to slip into thinking that we ought to try harder or do more or do something different or work at developing a particular virtue. But what Jesus is doing here is he is inviting us simply to see differently. Because if we see the world as he does, if we see other people as he does, then we will act differently without even needing to think about it. We'll start to realize that the world is blue and black, not white and gold. Just over a week ago, the Church of England bishops published what they called a pastoral letter to its members ahead of the general election. You may have heard some of the bad press that it picked up last weekend. Well, I sat down earlier this week to read the letter. I hasten to add it's 56 pages long. That's a book, not a letter, but there you go. I've actually put a link to it in this month's notice sheet because it's really worth a look. But the point that the letter's making is it's urging us to think about the common good when we come to vote later this year. And it makes the point that all people are created in the image of God. And because we're created in the image of God, we are called to love our neighbour as we love ourselves. So when we come to vote, we shouldn't just be thinking about what benefits us. We should be thinking about what our neighbours need, about the needs of others. If we see other people as precious and loved and worth saving, then we will behave differently. As I've been thinking about this story from Luke this week, I found myself asking the question, what would happen if we saw our parish in the way that Jesus sees it? What would happen if we saw every person in our parish when we leave this building today, if we saw them as Jesus sees them? What would we end up doing differently because we see differently? Earlier this week, we had the first of our Lent book groups. It's happening again this Tuesday, 8 p.m. in the parish room. It's not too late to join us. But one of the comments that someone made is that as you read through Luke's gospel, one little piece after another, the theme of the poor keeps coming up again and again, that God wants to reverse the fortunes of the poorest people, like this woman in this story with a colourful past. What would happen if our church set out to reverse the fortunes of the poorest people in this neighbourhood? What would happen if that was our aim? I don't really know what would happen, but actually I think that God is prompting me to think about that question and to ask that question. I'd love to encourage you to pray about that question. If we set out to reverse the fortunes of the poorest people, what would happen as a result? What would we do differently? How would we see differently and think differently? And I think perhaps what we need to do is to pray together that we would undergo a sort of spiritual laser surgery, that we would see the way that Jesus sees, that we wouldn't need to think about it or try hard or imagine or wonder, but just the way we see would shape what we do. So that's what I want to leave you with this morning. That the way that we see shapes what we do, and if we see as Jesus sees, then we will do and be differently. What might that look like here and for this parish? Why don't we take a moment to just pause and be quiet together to think about that story, to think about which part of that story will stay with us as we go into the week ahead. Let's take a moment to pause.